Welcome to the Editor's Note Comics Podcast.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, we're all in this together.
Central Maine's best comics podcast, by default.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Here are your hosts, Zach and Jared.
I didn't know you had elves working here.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi, how are we doing?
We're here to talk movies and comics and other entertainment news.
I don't know why you haven't
been
entrance to this whole show. It's been almost 2 years.
Look, do you want to know the reason I'm filling in people? Because okay. It's a Batman animated series episode. We always get a big numbers boost on those.
Okay.
I'm going to preface them. The intro just says that it's Zach and Jared. Hi, I'm Zach. Welcome, new people.
Oh, hi, new people.
Yeah, whatever. We'll get to the Batman thing. We do news, we do Batman, and then someone asks us a question.
It's really worth listening to.
Yeah, good ringing endorsement. There's a lot to get through this week. We have no time for a preamble.
To the news!
Oh, yeah.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's time for the news.
There's so much of this, I don't even know if I can... I should have... There's, whatever, we're just going to do it. I don't think it's going to flow naturally. I'll find a way.
Okay, I lead on, Captain. I have all the faith in you.
Let's stick to the Fox side of things, because there's a lot of Fox news this week.
Ah.
Remember the Disney-Fox deal that may or may not have fallen through?
It didn't fall through.
No.
It happened.
It hasn't happened yet.
It's going to happen.
Probably.
Like 90% certain.
Yeah, that's the way the reports are looking. There were so many conflicting reports when it first happened. All we knew for sure was talks had happened, and some sources were saying they fell through. Other sources were saying it didn't, and I fell onto the ground of, we don't actually know until there's a statement from one company or another. But now everyone's kind of coming together and saying, like, yeah, the talks are still happening and they're moving into final stages of negotiation. So realistically, possibly, maybe, Disney might not be buying Fox. Like, I think the deal is going to be smaller than what was originally projected, but they'll be buying up more of the entertainment, which was a lot of what they were talking about before. I think it's going to be a smaller deal and that Fox still might exist as a movie studio, but just selling off a number of properties. Well, that's just speculation.
If Fox is gone as a movie studio, what's left? Disney, Paramount?
Paramount's owned by Viacom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dwindling. The studio's been around.
Columbia Pictures?
Yeah, I don't know if they have a parent company or not.
Is Universal Pictures still a thing?
Yeah, Universal still
is.
Yeah,
I guess so.
They have nothing going on, but yes, they're still a thing.
Okay.
Poor Universal. But yeah, so that's still apparently going through, which means that realistically, X-Men movies that are going to be coming out, all the stuff that's on the slate thing, just aren't going to happen. Like, the Gambit movie that wasn't happening, but then was, and then wasn't, and then was, definitely isn't going to happen. They'll just start everything over.
Yeah.
The stuff that's already in post-production will go through.
Reset.
But, yeah, anything else is going to get scrapped. So this, like, planned New Mutants trilogy, we'll get one New Mutant. Deadpool Beyond 2 is probably going to get scrapped. I'm sure they'll recycle the character somehow, and he can be cheeky and...
not edgy.
You know, reference the fact that he was bought and sold a couple of times.
Mm.
Like the cheap whore he is.
Oh, wow, that's aggressive.
Yeah, he could do it.
Yeah, it works for his character.
But people are like, Disney isn't going to make Deadpool swear and stuff. I don't know. Did you expect to hear the word anus so much in a Thor movie?
No.
Or all of the murder and the Punisher?
No.
Yeah, they're...
it works.
I think Disney has more cojones than people give them credit for.
They're the 800-pound gorilla in the room. They can do what they want.
Speaking of X-Men, Dark Phoenix, through Entertainment Weekly, or EW, as you would say in the biz, released the first photos from that, and they look stupid, to be honest.
Looks like a Photoshop filter.
Yeah, it's most of the photos that were released were of Sophie Turner, of Game of Thrones fame, who had fiery red hair. And not just because she has fiery red hair, but red hair that was on fire.
And crackly skin like it's on fire.
Yeah, so looks real dumb.
I wouldn't say it looks real dumb.
Some plot details were released as well, that the X-Men are now regaled as heroes, and they'll be going into orbit to stop some kind of space shuttle crash. So they're almost getting into space, but not really, because they're still in orbit.
Aww.
I know, disappointing.
Mostly space.
Yeah. And the thing from this EW article that people were, like, harping on and getting more people going out there is that Sophie Turner, famous party girl. Never knew that she was a famous party girl.
Really?
I don't think she is. I think this article is making...
Did, like, you make up that she's a famous party girl?
Yes, I did. But, like, she's like, I love to party. And there's just, you know, so much going on in this movie that you can't be showing up to set hungover. So I only partied for 2 days. And if I ever left, like, a 9 o'clock dinner early to go to bed, everyone was so surprised because I'm such a famous party girl. engaged to Joe Jonas. He's the buff one, right?
I don't know my Jonas Brothers that well. I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I think he's the buff one. I also could be wrong. I just thought it was dumb. That was the takeaway from the entire article. Like, so much partying. Shut up. Well, because my reaction would, like, they released these photos. It's her topless, but, you know, covering everything. My first reaction was, how old is she? The answer is 21.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So, okay. Well, obviously, if she's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
I don't know, man.
Miley did stuff like that when she was not 21.
My knowledge of Miley Cyrus is limited.
As is mine, I just know that she was more risque than Sophie Turner.
Probably. Speaking of risque Fox things, Bryan Singer has been accused yet again of sexual misconduct with an underage boy. When we're talking about sexual misconduct within the last, I don't know, 10 years of famous people, Bryan Singer really is the OG. He's been accused a lot of times.
That hair, though.
Bryan Singer?
Oh, no, sorry, not Bryan Singer. I'm thinking of a different producer with crazy hair.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I don't know either.
Bryan Singer, X-Men director, X-Men 2 director, X-Men Days of Future Past director, who wasn't able to do any press because of the last time he was accused of sexual misconduct with a minor.
He's probably a bad guy that shouldn't be allowed to be in these things.
I'm just going to say he's a pedophile rapist. There's so much, you know, there gets to be a point. It's like one allegation, maybe. Two. There's a point when there's so many allegations of, like, boys coming forward of, like, oh yeah, when I was 17 years old, like, Bryan Singer.
More than once.
When there's enough smoke, there's fire, and he's been accused enough times.
More than once is twice too many.
Because he came up in the news last week, and we didn't talk about it because it didn't really seem important. He was doing the Freddie Mercury biopic, and he was fired from that because he just didn't come back to set after Christmas break. He said it was for family health reasons, but the fact that this came out, like, immediately after that, I think his family is probably fine and healthy. Maybe not emotionally healthy with all these sexual abuse allegations against him, but...
There's some problems there that probably need to be addressed.
Yeah, I think he just didn't go back because he knew something was coming down.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Well, not his family coming down with something, but, you know...
It's not good.
Yeah, he's been accused so many times. Just get rid of this guy already.
Yeah, kick him to the curb. There's no room for that in this world anymore. Not that there was in the first place.
Like your addendum.
But, I mean, even more so
now. That you've been caught, there's no room in it.
Yeah. Tisk, tisk.
More than that.
Go to jail.
Yeah, preferably.
Or hell.
Both.
There it is.
Ryan Reynolds.
I know him.
Star of Deadpool. Apparently likes being in movies where the initials are DP. Because he is going to be starring in the Detective Pikachu movie, voicing Pikachu.
Oh, boy.
Where Pikachu investigates...
Pokemon crimes?
I was going to say, like, child sex trafficking crimes. He's a real hard drinker, I assume.
Oh, wow. There's arson! Where's Charizard?
That was just so weird. Okay, great. I'm sure he only has to show up for an afternoon, and I'm sure he's going to get a boatload of cash, because Pokemon's a moneymaker.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to do that much length. I mean, he'll be able to go through most of his dialogue in a day, probably,
It's just, you'll have people... You know, lining up to see the weirdness of what is Ryan Reynolds doing Pikachu like, and you'll have kids being there for Pikachu. They're really doubling down. And then you'll get every single person on the internet taking clips from Detective Pikachu, muting the audio, and putting Deadpool dialogue over the top of it.
It all works out.
So get ready for that for the next 3 years.
Everybody wins!
I don't think anyone wins with that last one. It'll be funny the first time.
Everybody wins!
For 24 hours.
That's better than winning for 23 hours.
Fair.
It's better than not winning at all.
Last week, we brought up Quentin Tarantino had pitched a Star Wars movie and more...
Star Trek movie.
Yeah, what I even... Look, I even wrote down Star Wars and had to cross it out and write Shrek.
I didn't need to see the cross out. I knew you were wrong.
Yeah. My fine, handwritten notes. It looks like that's actually getting some traction, and that Tarantino, if this goes through, he would get a story credit. He wouldn't be scripting it, but it would be an R-rated Star Trek movie.
I want it. Bring it to me. Give it to me now.
I don't know.
There is, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'd be interested in it, no question. It just seems so out of character for him. I know he's talked about that he has a love of Star Trek in the past.
I think it needs to happen. I am all in on it.
The problem with the last movie, well, there wasn't really a problem with the last movie, but the problem is everyone was kind of burned out and no one went to see it. It didn't do well, even though it's by far the best one of what's been released in the last few years.
I think it's a fresh new take. I want it.
Yeah,
give it to me.
If that gets, I don't know, asses in the seats.
That's what you want. One ass every 36 inches.
Okay.
That's the standard seating is 36 inches.
Is it?
I think so.
No, I don't know. I thought you were like, I want my ass 36 inches. No more, no less.
No, I don't want to have a 3-foot wide ass.
I don't know. We talked about what that would be like. What could make Star Trek R-rated? I mean, I know that they've been cussing a little on this Discovery show. They've dropped a few F-bombs.
Give me... It's like it'd probably be like the Swear Trek Twitter feed.
I do love that Twitter feed.
That is a great Twitter feed.
Speaking of Star Trek alum, Alice Eve, who played... Well, I'm blanking on her name.
What series was she on?
She was in the character was in the original series. She was almost a main cast member, and then she wasn't, and then she was in Into Darkness. It was like, whatever, one of them.
Okay.
The blonde one. She was the one the internet got mad at because she was just had an unnecessary shot of her in her underwear.
Oh, that was the Admiral's daughter.
Yeah.
It'll come to me, eventually.
Daughter of RoboCop.
Yes.
She has joined Iron Fist Season 2 in an unspecified role. And my reaction to that was, Iron Fist is getting a season 2?
Oh.
It's so terrible. Ugh. Sure. I was going to say, sure, why not? You know what? Actually, no. I actually think I disagree with this.
You don't want any more Danny?
I'd be fine if he showed up in Luke Cage and they just had a team up. Make it Heroes for Hire. I don't need Iron Fist season 2.
All right.
You wowed me so much with season 1 with your endless board meetings and really choppy fight editing.
And sleepy. Time. Nap-inducing sleepy time.
Okay, it was like, no one really took naps in it, but yeah, sure, I guess
people who watched it took,
God, it was brutal.
The Hand.
The Hand is fine. Speaking of The Hand, let's go to The Ham. I'm segueing like a boss over here.
We're making ham next weekend.
But it's not as sexy as this ham. John Ham, baby.
Ooh, yeah.
John Ham has supposedly been petitioning hard for the role of Batman in the upcoming The Batman.
Because it's not going to be The Batleck anymore.
Probably not. He doesn't care.
The Batfleck?
He was really bad in Justice League. He just doesn't care anymore. Boy, it didn't take long for him to not care anymore. It was a really fast turnaround.
Much like everyone who's been watching Justice League, long for people to not care anymore.
I guess after years of scrutiny and being constantly insulted, maybe that would burn you out.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, supposedly. Some people are like, is he too old? The same age as Affleck.
Never too old to be Batman.
I'm all for this old Batman. I'm all for John Hamm being Batman. John Hamm kicks ass.
Why don't we get the transition to a younger Batman? We haven't had a Robin forever.
Well, one of them's dead.
Well, yes.
If this universe continues, which it may or may not. Because speaking of this universe.
Oh boy.
I'm doing better with the transitions than I thought
you are. I'm proud of you.
DC, after, you know, Justice League's $1 million estimated loss. They crossed the $600 million mark worldwide this week.
That took them a while to get there, didn't it?
Yeah, no, that's not good. That's bad money. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's really bad.
You know who's going to make $600 million this weekend?
Oh, more. Well, they will.
Do you think they'll break $100 million this weekend, Star Wars?
Oh, easily. Easily. I'm going to put it closer to three.
You think $300 million the opening weekend?
It's a bold statement.
I could buy it.
DC is going through a restructuring. The guy who is kind of behind the entire studio, whose name no one's ever heard of before, he used to be a producer, and then he was in charge of DC Films.
Yeah.
And I forgot to write his name down. It doesn't really matter anymore, because he has been demoted. Not fired, somehow, but demoted back to just being a regular old producer.
Oh.
And there's currently no one picked as his replacement who's going to be working alongside Geoff Johns, who is one of the three kind of head guys of the DC Comics world. I can't imagine why they're going through a restructuring.
I like the sarcasm there. I think it's apropos.
It's because Justice League was terrible.
Well, I mean, like you said, the best thing they could do right now is do a Flashpoint movie and do it really well. But unfortunately, they're probably going to get blown away. Everyone's going to be blown away and just in awe because of Infinity War. And now, what do you do if you're DC? Just
keep on being second place.
Throw in the towel and say, you know what? Disney, can you buy us too, please? You know,
that almost happened once.
Really?
Yeah, because Disney's going to buy everything and become a super corporation. I guess they already are. A super, super corporation.
Super duper.
Super mega.
Super mega duper.
Star Wars has premiere this week, and first reactions are out. There aren't official reviews. I think reviewers are going Wednesday to see it. I think is when the press screenings are.
So here's my question. Like, with a movie like Star Wars, I mean, they get the review at, like, the day... Like 48 hours before it opens. But other movies, the advanced screenings have already happened.
It doesn't matter. I mean, no one's not going to go see it.
Well, no, I know that. But like...
I mean, I was wrong. When they had that like first full trailer, I'm like, they're going to do two more. I was totally wrong. They don't need it.
No.
That trailer's still making them cash.
There's been some interesting TV spots. Did you see the one TV spot?
No, I've been avoiding them because I heard there's some spoilery stuff.
There's one TV spot that I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I've been avoiding them on purpose.
I'm trying to avoid the internet for the most part and the social media. I stumbled across it on social media because it just showed up. It's like, don't allow anyone to spoil it. But, oh, here's the spoilery thing in this trailer.
Mm.
I won't tell you. I'll save you the...
But first reactions are out, and they were overwhelmingly positive. But I've also said in the past, and I stand by it, first reactions based on premiere, I don't necessarily buy. Everyone who's saying a thing is just looking to get that one-line quote, especially if you're tweeting them out. You can kind of pick and choose that. And you also have a high of, like, all the celebrities are here, and it's a big party, and look at all, they've pulled out all the stops. So I'm always a little weary of first reactions. But I got kind of bored of reading them because they were all just overwhelmingly positive. Like, the worst I saw was one guy was like, I guess there's a little to nitpick if you want.
Wow.
That's as close to a bad review as the first reactions were.
I saw one that said, my mind is officially blown.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I imagine it will be. I'm actually not that worried.
No, I'm very confident that our movie-going experience this week is going to be outstanding. I'm so pumped!
You peaked. I didn't even have to look. I looked. You peaked.
Why did you look if you knew you didn't have to?
To be honest, I wanted to make sure we were still recording.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
A little bit of Sony movie news. The upcoming Venom movie, which is supposed to be out next year, filming now, is going to combine two different comic book stories. Or, you know, adapt them, or however you want to put it. Probably loosely take elements from and roll with it. Call it what it is.
It is what it is. Exactly.
It's going to be taking from Lethal Protector and Planet of the Symbiotes. Both are 90s series. I feel like I have to sneeze, but it's not coming. I hate that feeling.
It's the worst. Like,
Basically, Lethal Protector is Venom becomes kind of an anti-hero, and some scientists split up off five parts of him that become evil that he has to hunt. And then Planet of the Symbiotes, he goes into space and goes to a Planet of the Symbiotes that he has to fight. Good times. Also, Carnage is there.
Yay, Carnage.
I know. If you want to buy his first appearance, it's for sale right now.
In the shop?
With me. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Important news to both of us, especially after January when you watch the movie. Creed 2 news came out today.
What was the news?
Sylvester Stallone will not be directing. And neither will Ryan Coogler, the director of the first movie. It's going to be a relatively unknown director. He's done some shorts, and he did a movie at Sundance that has fine reviews. A guy named, sorry to sound super excited about it, Stephen Caples Jr. I really don't have anything to base his work on.
Is he Stephen Capable?
I sure hope he is. Apparently, Stallone and Michael B. Jordan kind of both handpicked him out of everyone that they saw. The studio talked to Stallone, and they were like, hey, maybe don't direct this.
What are you going with that?
I think they basically went, oh, you took a movie away from a young black director, and that was part of what made the magic of Creed, and then you gave it to yourself, an old crusty white guy, so maybe let's get another young black guy.
Fair. I see where you're going now.
Probably crasser than I should have said it, but it kind of is what it is.
Sometimes you just gotta lay it out there. Connect the dots for me, Zach.
I mean, I'm still hopeful. Michael B. Jordan was great. That movie, Stallone did, I think, the best acting of his career.
Even better than Rocky 1?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not a great actor in Rocky 1.
Yo.
Oh, God.
You want me to fight the big fight? I'll fight the big fight.
That is a terrible Rocky.
It's probably better than his Rocky was.
Yeah, I know nothing about this guy. I tried to find, there's really nothing out there. He's done some shorts, but beyond that.
He's not involved in any of those Dean Cain movies where he talks to animals, is it?
I wasn't even going to bring those up. Guess what I found this week?
Oh, what did you find? Please tell me.
They both have trailers.
What? We didn't watch them?
There was too much news. I was thinking of dedicating a part maybe next week, because I'm already like 2 months behind on the trailer releases.
Oh!
They are easily the worst trailers I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen worse sound design in a trailer.
Can I say I was forced to sit through a Hallmark movie last night? A Hallmark Christmas movie? Have you ever done that?
No.
I mean, don't.
Beauty of not having cable.
That's a good point.
But yeah, so we'll see. Oh, they're going to start production in March. Last movie was great. I have no reason to think this one won't be. I just don't know anything about this director. But on the other hand, I also knew nothing about Ryan Coogler. He'd only done one feature before that, I think, which I still haven't seen, Fruitvale Station. And he knocked it out of the park. So, hey.
Look at you making sportball references. I'm proud of you.
Trailer time! Because we got three of them.
Tres.
All this week and a little bit of last week, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom
Two, whatever that is called. This is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
They're putting out these little teaser videos and like these little featurettes. And my favorite one is like, oh, we're really going to be focusing on practical effects, animatronics. And then the trailer happened, and I went, that is a lot of CG. Look at that volcano explode with that line of CG dinosaurs just running.
Yes. But we get some Jeff Goldblum.
How much do you think he's going to be in it? 5 minutes, maybe?
Maybe. But he probably made a boatload of cash doing it. Looks like he was testifying in front of, like, a congressional panel or something.
Yeah. Supposedly, with this movie, we're only... All the footage that we saw was from the first 50 minutes of the film.
50 or 15?
50.
Okay.
Be a quick 15.
There'd be a lot happening.
Now, you as a fan of the last movie, guy who didn't see it.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
I know. It's fine. It's pretty good.
Is it better than...
It is my second favorite Jurassic Park movie.
Really? After the first one?
Yeah. No, 3 was my topper. I love that.
Was 3 the one where the dinosaurs get into the city?
No, that was 2.
Oh, yeah, it was 2. 3 was Alan.
Yes, that's the one where the Velociraptor talks in a dream. And they go to that stupid pterodactyl cage. And they lie to Sam Neill, who's all done with this shit. But they get him back anyway.
Oh, yeah, William H. Macy's in it.
Oh, yeah, that was him. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, Alan.
I'm also not going to probably ever watch that movie again.
Probably not.
I watched the first one. I like that one.
The first one's iconic.
I know, it's from that one book you've read in your entire life ever.
I've read more than one book.
2.
I read all 7 Harry Potter books.
Oh, good.
So we're up to 8.
You're right, you've got me there. As an adult, you read those.
I was, yes. Anyway.
This trailer didn't do much for me.
I kind of liked it.
I'm going to see the movie, and I'm probably going to see it in theaters, because that's the kind of movie that it's a spectacle you want to see on the big
screen. They've already got your money.
Probably, yeah, but the trailer didn't do much for me.
You also know that, like...
Okay, great, yeah.
You see some of the money shots in the trailer, though, like the T-Rex coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like from that shot in the first movie when the Velociraptor's about to attack him.
Yes.
You know, that silent 40-foot Tyrannosaurus comes out of nowhere.
How it somehow gets into the middle of the visitor center, which doesn't... Yeah. Can we please... There's a flaw there. How did it get into the visitor center? The doors are not big, and he doesn't have arms long enough to open them anyway. Just saying. Or she, because apparently
it's a lady.
Well, not all of the dinosaurs on Jurassic Park were female. We found that out. Life found a way.
Yeah.
Which we are reminded of by Jeff Goldblum in this.
And that T-Rex, that's the same T-Rex.
It is, yeah.
They had it in the last movie, too. And, you know, I say that movie's pretty fine. The last 50 minutes are worth the price of admission.
Of the last one?
Yeah. The last 50 minutes are great. So I'm like, this is fun. I'm having a good time. And then the last 15 minutes happened. I'm like, I'll pay you again for those 15 minutes. Just dinosaur on dinosaur action.
Were you? Wow, that's
good. Sexy.
That could be a search item on like an adult website.
Pterodactyl. I mean, I like Chris Pratt. I like Bryce Dallas Howard. They look like they're going for a little bit more of the vibe of the first movie, with kind of having some more horror elements to it.
Like the
because you had that a bit jumpy. In the first one. Like with the Velociraptors hunting them, you kind of lost it by the second one. Even the Velociraptor hunting scene is like, look at the tail.
What about like when I was younger? Because it came out, what, 92? 93. The T-Rex hitting the ground in the water.
Yeah.
That was frightening.
Yeah.
That was great stuff.
And they did that with a bass string.
Must go faster. Must go faster.
I mean, the trailer didn't excite me, but I'm still going to see it. If anything, the featurettes that they were showing ahead of time I thought were more exciting.
Mm.
And they're definitely blowing up that island. But this is, it's already the second island, right?
Yeah, it's not the original island.
Yeah, so maybe they'll go back to the other island or somewhere else. Or maybe this group of government officials will take all the dinosaurs off the island and back to the mainland where something bad will happen. This is Jurassic Park 2. Cool. Way to be original movie.
But they have your money.
Yeah, they do.
Don't forget that.
Well, the last one, I wasn't going to see the last one in theaters, but there was so much hype around it that I ended up going.
I'm like, you're like, I have to.
Yeah, I'm like, what is everyone talking about? And then I found out. So this last 15 minutes. We got our first teaser trailer for Spider-Verse, an animated Spider-Man movie.
That was awesome. I love the visuals.
When this was announced, I didn't give a crap. This is going to be a theatrical release. But then when they showed the teaser trailer, I'm like, oh, you also have my money.
Those visuals were stunning.
It looks spectacular. Spider-Man.
But it's not...
a book. Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yes, it was. It was. We talked about the alliterative power of Kirby and Lee.
And with it being Spider-Verse, we're going to be getting a whole boatload of different versions of Spider-Man. That's the whole
Spider-Verse. Was that Peter Parker's gravestone, or was that...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's because we're dealing with Miles Morales, the half-black, half-Hispanic version of Spider-Man. In his original universe, Peter Parker died, he became Spider-Man, but now he's over in the regular Marvel universe where Peter Parker's alive, which looks like what they're going to be doing. But just And I have no idea how much of the Spider-Verse story they're doing, but Miles Morales will definitely be the point of view character into, like, all the different Spider-Men. I thought it looked great.
The visuals are stunning.
Yeah, when they're, like, animated.
Unbelievable.
Like, animated Spider-Man movie. I'm like, cool, great. I've seen the cartoon of Spider-Man, like, 8 billion times.
Not the animated, like, the memes come from. Those are great.
Yeah, it looked fantastic. I got really jazzed up by that. Like, that's how you tease a movie.
Yeah.
That's not coming that's out for
a year away.
Yeah, it looked.
I'm not going to understand why, because the visuals for that movie are just incredible.
Yeah, I love the design of it. Got really annoyed that there was Nike product placement at, like, shot number two. It's like, oh, look at his shoes. What a nice little swoop he has.
But you know what it got back to, for me, was, like, in the Spider-Man movies, like, the Sam Raimi camera action of, like, you felt you were moving through the city with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That we didn't necessarily get with Spider-Man Homecoming. You never really got that, like, tracking shot. Like, what this is, like, following Spider-Man as he, like, plunges off of a building and rotates and twists and you kind of dive down through the city with him. You didn't get that as much, I felt, in Spider-Man Homecoming. But I was reminded of that just the way that, like, Spider-Man was kind of bouncing through the city street off of a cab, slinging web. The ground level shot stuff that Sam Raimi did in his three Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to be interested in this just because, you know, like, it's going to be a lesser Spider-Man. Sony can't do their own live action ones, so we're going to do an animated one. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. But yeah, change my mind. I'm on board.
Yes, bring it. Give it to me. I want all of it.
Jessica Jones had a trailer and a release date for March of, I don't know, I forget what the day. Let's call it March 8th. I think that's what it says.
Of 2018.
Yeah.
Looks like standard.
Yeah, more of the same. They did what the Punisher did for a trailer and, like, cut it to a pop song. They did Barracuda.
Yes.
Dun 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 dun.
Yes, we know that, yes. Yes.
Barracuda.
One of us has seen Heart Live, and you're not that person.
No, I'm not.
Oh my God, that was a good show. It was a very good show. It was Heart, Cheap Trick, and Journey.
I know.
You're jealous, aren't you?
No, you just told me about that show many times.
Heart stole the show. I love Journey, but Heart stole the show. Just gonna say it.
It looks, you know, it was a teaser trailer. It looked fine.
More the same. She's an alcoholic. She's having aggressive sex with men, and
And she's throwing out Spider-Man references.
Yes.
Which even Spider-Man hasn't said yet.
Well, Ben Parker's dead.
Yeah. In the book, she was retconned to have gone to high school with Peter Parker, and she had such a crush on him.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't look at him? He's a dream.
In this current Marvel universe, that doesn't work because he's a teenage boy and she's in her 30s.
Yeah, probably doesn't really.
No.
No. Not in this charged climate.
Or in any. I guess that'll do it for TV and movies. Let's go on to comics.
Wow. You weren't lying. This is a big news week.
Look, I only got three of them.
There's a lot going on here.
Brian Michael Bendis, famed Marvel writer for 17 years who's wrapping up with the company and just signed a contract with DC, almost called all of that off by being on death's door.
Oh, well, that would cause problems.
He had a surprise MRSA infection.
That's scary.
Yeah, and yeah, he was blind and he almost died. He's fine now.
Well, that's good.
He also, in the last year, he lost a lot of weight and has just been a much healthier guy. And basically, he was told that if he hadn't started taking care of himself, he would have died last week.
Well.
So, his start at DC is getting pushed back a little
bit.
He still has some work left that he has to do for Marvel. But he said both publishing companies are being very accommodating. And, you know, you gotta heal. That's all I have to say. Glad he's not dead.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, too.
There we go. All right. Marathoning this.
You're almost there. You're doing a good job.
Guardians of the Galaxy, the comic book series, will be ending with issue number 150, but with a promise of something else coming, which is definitely true. If the book ends temporarily, it's not going anywhere. Guardians, yeah. It's a hot ticket right now, a hot commodity. People like those movies. So I'm sure it's just going to be, you know, transitioning into whatever the upcoming Infinity story is that they're doing before they get up their own team book again. Sometimes the thing has to go away to make it exciting again.
Okay, I hear you.
It's true. Don't know what you want from me.
I don't want anything from you. Can't have it all.
And the last bit of news. I gotta take a drink here. Jesus.
Okay, yeah, you've been going hard, man. I'm proud of you. No quitting you, baby.
I just knew there was a lot. No messing around.
Finish strong.
Now, this is going off of an old story, but something interesting. Grant Morrison, famed psychedelic drug user and comic book writer.
Yes, I believe we've talked about him before on the show.
He did an AMA a few days ago because his comic book Happy was adapted into a TV show, so, you know, he's back in the news. And someone asked him about his run on Batman. Everyone, you know, it wasn't a steadfast rule. It's not really a steadfast rule now either, but the last few guys who have been on Batman basically had 5 years on the book. Someone else comes in. It's not a bad thing. It's not like you're fired or any of that crap. It's just, you know, keep it fresh, keep it going. It's not like these guys, they're not working by any stretch. But Morrison did about 5 years on Batman. Well, on the solo Batman title, he did more than that because he was writing Justice League before that. But he killed Batman for a little while. This is 2008 news. It's old.
Yeah, I know. I'm not really...
You're like, not Batman!
How dare he!
And he had Dick Grayson take over as Batman with Bruce's son Damian taking over as Robin and kind of switching the dynamic of you have a lighter Batman but an angrier Robin. He said his plan was to have Dick be Batman for about 5 years and it would resurrect Bruce just when we got to the point when no one thought it would ever happen. But DC Mandate changed that and he came back like 2 years later versus five. Which is too bad because I really loved that run. I really liked it when Dick was Batman. I like it when Bruce is Batman too, but it breathed a lot of life back into that book at the time. I liked it a lot.
You like the angry Robin?
Yeah, it was nice seeing the transition to Dick. Part of the problem with Nightwing as a character is he's well-adjusted Batman, and that's less interesting.
You like angry Batman?
Well, Batman's whole thing is he can never get over the death of his parents. He is always a psychologically damaged and complicated individual, where you have Dick Grayson, who had a very similar start, but got over it, became well-adjusted, and became his own thing, and he's fine. So, not always, some Nightwing books are really good, but a lot of times that title kind of treads water, because he's fine.
Yeah.
So when he became Batman, that really kind of upped the stakes for that character in a new way, and he had a new direction to go, and it was really fresh. You get rid of Bruce, you bring in Dick, who's actually has a chance of, you know, upward trajectory, and the book was great. And I wish it had gone on longer than it did. It was kind of disappointing when Bruce came back. But neither here nor there. It was just interesting to hear about that.
Fair enough.
And that is the news.
Wow. Wow.
And these were just the big stories.
Wow.
I skipped the little ones.
And all this time you mean to tell me we couldn't have done a trailer breakdown on one of the Dean Cain animal movies?
We didn't have time. Maybe next week.
Maybe next
week. If it's a light trailer week, we can look at the trailers for Baby Bulldog in Andy the Talking Hedgehog.
Well, no, next week's not a light week because we got Star Wars next week.
Oh, boy.
Maybe we do it. If we're going to have a spectacular flame out episode when we watch the Star Wars Christmas special in 2 weeks, we should preload that with
crap on crap on crap on crap.
It's Cole and everybody's stocking that week. But not this week, baby. Mm. Oh, we've got some great holiday stuff in our review this week.
Welcome to our Mark Hamill holiday trilogy.
Yes. Starts with good, it'll get better, and then it'll be, wow, what was he doing? What was he on at the time?
No, that was Carrie Fisher. He just looks like a porcelain doll in it. It's real weird.
I'm sure he was also doing some heavy drugs at the time.
I have no idea. I have no idea if Mark Hamill has even sparked up some wacky tobacco. Probably, but...
I would imagine so. Because, you know, Peter Mayhew and Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher were getting toked up all the time. Probably Frank Oz, too. George, probably not so much.
Yeah, he does some kind of straight edge.
Yes. He was too busy having a heart attack and getting checked into a London hospital.
And getting a hot new life. So let's do this. We're doing a patented Christmas review.
Ho, ho, ho.
I'm the best there is at what I do. But what I do best isn't very nice.
It's time for an Editor's Note podcast review.
This week, we are doing the Batman Animated Series episode, Christmas with the Joker. This is a season one episode, and I'm going to give you some tidbits before we get into it.
Please tell me.
Something interesting about the Batman Animated Series, it's been released on DVD, it's been out for years. Next year, they're doing the Blu-ray release. Woo! But the DVDs are all out of whack, order-wise. It doesn't really matter with this show. They didn't like set up like an origin for Batman and stuff. You just kind of get it as time goes on. You kind of absorb the lore, which is fine. It's a very episodic show. You don't really need to go like narratively in order. But the DVDs are crazy out of order.
Yeah.
This is off of season one. You throw in the DVD. This is episode two. In reality, this is episode 38. So all over the place.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. This aired on November 13th, 1992.
Wow. Retro.
Yeah, the entire series is.
Retro Rocket Fire.
And something interesting with the writer and the director of this episode, not the same guy, but these were both individuals who only did one episode apiece, and it was this one.
Really?
Not rehired. I don't know why.
It was a really bad Batman joke in it.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I'm not sure at this point, because I'm not sure how many were done. I was watching for it, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's true. Originally for Batman the Animated Series, Mark Hamill was not the Joker. The Joker was done by Tim Curry. And eventually, after some recording sessions, they decided that, this isn't working. Fired Tim Curry, and Mark Hamill got the job. What's funny is he'd already been on the show in a different episode, but not as the Joker.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, but what's interesting about that is the way that animation works is you have your actors, and they do their dialogue, and then the animators will match the lip flaps to what ever the voices are.
Yeah.
So Tim Curry's stuff had already all been animated. So Mark Hamill had to go back in, and his performance earlier on is a little more restrained because he has to be matching what the animation does versus the animation matching what Mark Hamill is doing. And I was watching for it in this one, and I think that's the case here. There are some parts where it doesn't look quite right with the lip flaps. And this being episode 38, I don't know. I'm not quite sure when the switch out happened. I could be wrong. I'm at least not wrong about the switch out in general, but I think this one must have been a Tim Curry one.
Okay.
Just speculation. I'm sure if I looked harder, I could find it. But I'm putting my foot down and saying I'm right.
I like it. Conviction. Confidence and conviction.
Or I'm wrong, and that's fine.
Yeah, but you know what? At least you believe you're right in the moment.
That being said, I don't know. Regale us with your review. I'm tired of talking.
Oh, wow. Yeah, take a break.
On this audio medium. Where it's literally us talking, like,
So anyway, we have
Batman, just watch Batman.
Christmas with the Joker. Is that, yeah, Christmas with the Joker?
Yeah, we not only get a title card, we also get the Joker giving us a title card about 10 minutes in.
Yes.
So we get a double title card.
So in case you were forgetting what you were watching.
Yeah.
So it starts off in Arkham Asylum, where they're singing Jingle Bells as the residents of Arkham are decorating the tree. And they're singing Jingle Bells. Well, in true Joker fashion, which I thought was kind of a neat little twist, you know, when you're growing up, you learn, like, the alternative lyrics to Jingle Bells? Jingle Bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg, the Batmobile lost a wheel, and Joker got away. The Joker sings it!
He likes the song.
And not only does the Joker sing it, he gets on top of this rocket Christmas tree and flies away, calling his own shot. Well done, Joker. I like it.
When I was looking at, like, trivia for this episode, I'm not going to confirm it because I was looking and I didn't see it. Apparently one of the inmates in there during that opening scene, one of them looks eerily like Charles Manson. I couldn't find it.
I wasn't really looking for that.
Yeah, you were looking at the Joker, not guys in the background who might be Charles Manson.
Correct.
I'm not sure if that happened or not. I didn't see it, but it doesn't mean it wasn't there. It was on the trivia.
So anyway, the Joker flies out of Arkham Asylum, which on a tree.
Riding his rocket tree?
Yeah, which leads me to a couple of questions. A, where did they get the rocket tree? And B, why would they have a glass atrium in the middle of Arkham Asylum?
I do love how, like, the Joker's plans are never really fully explained. The show periodically will show, like, the Joker sitting down with blueprints trying to figure out, like, how can I execute this and make it, like, the funniest version of whatever I'm doing.
Yes.
But sometimes they're just like, nah, the tree is a rocket, and he's fine.
So anyway, Batman, being his paranoid, grumpy-ass self as he normally is, it's Christmas Eve, and he tells Robin, well, the Joker escaped from Arkham Asylum, and we need to go out and patrol the streets because the city needs us. And Robin's like, but it's Christmas Eve. The bad guys even take nights off. And the Batman's like, well, that's not that simple with the Joker.
He just wants to watch It's a Wonderful Life.
That's all Robin wants, is to have Christmas dinner and watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Did I ever tell you the history about that movie?
No.
Why it's a Christmas classic? I'm throwing that in air quotes.
Yes,
for
please.
A reason. Wonderful Life, when it came out in theaters, was an absolute flop. No one saw it. Everyone hated it. And it was such a reviled movie that when it came time for the copyright to come back around, they just didn't renew it because no one cared. And then all the TV stations picked it up because it went into public domain and they didn't have to pay anyone to air it. So it became a Christmas tradition because it was just the cheapest thing they could show for the holidays.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life is a public domain movie because it was so hated. And that's the only reason that anyone knows it now.
So when who makes money on it when people sell it in the store?
Anyone can sell it. Any company can put it on DVDs. Whenever you can get, like, those, any DVD, like, a 50-pack of, like, classic movies. They've just gone into public domain, and any production company can
just stamp them onto a DVD? Yeah. Oh, that's kind of...
Anyone can pump it out. You could put out your own version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Really? If I just, like, burned copies of it and, like, gave a commentary?
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life with commentary by Jared Richmond.
Yeah, but that's the only reason It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas tradition, because it was public domain and cheap. And by cheap, I mean free.
What are your thoughts on it? You've seen it, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie.
No.
It's not a great... I mean, it's a serviceable movie.
I don't like that no one really learns a lesson in the end and the bad guy gets away with everything.
There is that point, yes.
But beyond that, no, it's totally fine. I like it. To a point, I don't love it, but I like it.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
I think that's stupid.
Wow.
I don't have to like everything about it.
Anyway, moving on.
I just like Jimmy Stewart. Oh, Clarence!
Oh,
that was as good as your Rocky Balboa.
It was probably a little bit better, actually. I'll give you that much. So, anyway, back to the topic at hand. Batman and Robin are perusing the city of Gotham, looking for evildoers. And, well, guess what? There weren't really any evildoers on Christmas Eve.
Maybe there's a perch snatcher. Perch snatcher?
A purse snatcher, but no, it's a present returner. And Batman's like, well, I guess I'm wrong. And Robin calls him a Scrooge and so on and so forth. So they go back to the Batcave where Robin is like, I win. And they have Christmas dinner. And then they go to sit down and watch It's a Wonderful Life. Wrong!
I do love the, like, the old mansion-y aspect of it because they're literally sitting down for Christmas dinner. Alfred brings them out their spread. And it's almost a joke. They're like sitting at the end of like this long table, like this 20-foot table. We don't just have to like yell at each other to get your word across. Like The Simpsons even did that gag when they were staying at Mr. Burns' house or something.
Yeah.
Of just the rich man table that is so long, it's like unnecessary. Like you're practically not even eating with the other person.
Well, they make that joke in the Tim Burton Batman movie, the first one, where he's sitting.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But then he moves down to the other end and they actually end up eating with Alfred in the
Butler's
quarters. Yeah. But they make that joke in the first movie.
Ah. And hey, for, you know, I don't think those movies have aged terribly well, but without those movies, we wouldn't have this show, and damn it, I love this show.
Yeah, I love the Batman. You hear the Batman theme in the background.
Which is clearly not a show you grew up with, because I threw it on, and you yelled at it immediately. You're like, we watched this already. This is The Grey Ghost. Do you not understand how TV intros work? They're not new for every episode. You're like, well, it looks the same. Like, because it is. It's the intro.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention to me. I thought the show had already started by the time we got to where we were.
Just so irate. We saw this. This 45 seconds? Yes, you've seen that.
Settle down. Anyway, point notwithstanding. So there we are. And, well, guess what? It's not It's a Wonderful Life. Joker here. I love that. It's like a little homage to when the Joker in the Tim Burton movie overtook the TV. Joker's like, we're not going to see It's a Wonderful Life. I'm going to just terrorize Gotham through this TV set. I'm going to play this town like a harp from hell.
And he has Commissioner Gordon, Renee Montoya, and Harvey Bullock all tied up in packages. And something I don't like about this episode is he has them gagged with a candy cane. Funny visual, but then he keeps on like pulling out the gag and putting it back in. There's nothing there but a candy cane.
You can spit it out.
Just spit it out. Or enjoy
gonna
the
melt.
Candy
yeah,
cane.
Yeah, it's going to melt eventually.
Just enjoy that sweet peppermint flavor.
I do like candy canes.
But they just treat it like it's an unbreakable gag. It's just a candy cane.
Do you like putting candy canes in hot chocolate?
No.
Because you don't like sweets?
Yeah, it's a little too.
So you must not like Christmas cookies.
I like peanut butter cookies.
So if you like made peanut butter cookies with a Hershey Kiss in the middle? Like that kind of
cookie? I'd eat that.
Yeah. What do you mean you'd eat that? You've never had one of those?
No, I've had that.
That's a standard Christmas cookie right there.
I'd enjoy that.
I gotta make some of those. I've been like trying to lose weight, but now it's like I'm at the point of the month where I'm like, screw it, it's Christmas. I'm just gonna go all in and then worry about it after New Year's like everybody else in America.
I just didn't have dinner tonight.
That's one way to lose weight.
Yeah, just skip a meal.
Not a healthy way to do it, but I had SpaghettiOs for dinner earlier. You know the last time I had SpaghettiOs? I haven't had SpaghettiOs in probably 2 years. I just had a can. It wasn't an expired can. I had bought a can previously. Like, maybe about 2 years, but it's been a while.
Mine's got to be closer to 10 or more.
I have my own SpaghettiOs spoon from when I was a kid.
Oh.
My mom had sent in for it, and it has my name engraved right on it with the SpaghettiOs guy.
It was a SpaghettiOs guy?
Yeah, it was like the two eyes and the smiley face.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's been a while since I thought about SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs with meatballs.
Uh-oh. Oh, damn it. That's still in my brain. SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, see? That's effective marketing right there.
Until the last time I saw a SpaghettiOs commercial.
Anyway, back to the people who got to the show, not for SpaghettiOs talk, but for Batman the Animated Series. So Batman and Robin now have to find out where the Joker is. And as Batman says, well, it's never this easy with the Joker, thinking they've pinpointed where he is. On their way, Batman and Robin are watching the Robin's little TV show inside the Batmobile.
Yeah, this is like well before the days of portable televisions within cars.
That's Batman.
Yeah, he already has one.
Yes, he does.
I love that old Batmobile design.
Yeah, the really long front end.
Yeah, it's like kind of an adaptation of the Burton one. I just love it.
Yes.
I love it so much. And I love the score going off of like the Elfman theme, but then you have Shirley Walker who's kind of adapting all of it. It's just all falls in.
Wonderful.
You know what's interesting about these early seasons of the show is instead of like having calling it like with Batman the Animated Series being this kind of like timeless, like is it the 40s? Is it the 90s?
Nobody knows.
But they called the art style Dark Deco.
instead of Art Deco.
I've probably said all this stuff on past animated series, whatever, I don't care. But part of the reason that it's so dark is instead of doing it like kind of traditionally on white paper, they did everything on black paper and then colored on top of it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where you get like all those like big shadows and why everything has that very specific look to it. They changed that in later seasons because it was, I guess, poisoning all of the Chinese animators.
Well, that's a real downer.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think anyone died.
Anyway, back to the show. So the Joker's like, oh, well, what do we have here? It's a model of Gotham City, complete with trains and, oh, look, a bridge. So let's blow up this train bridge.
I was ready for him to say trains, planes, and automobiles.
I was ready for him to, like, say something like, I'm going to tie one of these people to the train tracks and you have to save them. But no, it just blew up a train bridge. And so Batman and Robin have to stop the speeding train. Really defying the laws of physics in the process. But again, suspension of disbelief.
My favorite, Robin stops all the passenger cars, which is fine. Batman goes up to the engineer. He just opens up the window from the outside and goes, the bridge is out, come here.
And they jump off a moving train.
But no, I just love that the guy like just goes along with it. He's not like, you're Batman. Or like, oh my God, he's just like, all right.
All right.
Let's jump out this window.
Yeah.
Together, Batman.
Of a speeding train.
The bridge is out. Let's go.
So they save the day. That's all good. Excellent. Well done. And then they go up to the Gotham Observatory on Gotham Hill, or Mount Gotham. Mount Gotham.
Where a telescope, as an observatory would have,
has turned into a giant gun.
It's just a big old cannon.
You know, in the 6 hours that the Joker's been out of Arkham Asylum, he got a lot of work done. He's a very industrious and effective guy.
I know. He doesn't waste his time.
Yeah, he doesn't. So anyway, Batman is trying to avoid being blown up. In the meantime, Robin is also trying to break into the observatory and has to get by machine gun style Jokers, which he does. Good job, Robin.
Yeah, it's this whole like, oh, if you're both shooting at me from two sides, I'll just walk in between you and you'll shoot each other.
Yes. Also, in the history of bad guys, they're really bad shooters in this TV show.
Yeah.
Like, they make stormtroopers look accurate.
Well, they're robots. And hey, he only...
Well, there were two human people in it.
They got taken out quickly.
From there, the world's greatest detective, Batman, goes to work and deduces, based on a clue from the Joker, of where he is. He's in the
LAFCO or something?
LAFCO.
But you skipped over the funnier part, where they destroy everything at the observatory, realize they've been led to a false location. Robin goes, what's next? And Batman goes, I don't know. And they just drive around for a little bit, yeah. And Batman just goes, Joker will tell us something else.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drive aimlessly and hope that, you know, he gives us more information.
Because
at midnight, he's going to kill everyone.
Yeah.
So he does, of course.
So they find him at the LAFCO company, in which they've...
You know, the giant toy factory with a clown face on the side of it.
That would have been my first guess of like where they might be. So Batman and Robin go in which they find giant nutcracker dolls coming to kill them.
Like 30-foot-tall robot nutcrackers.
To which I was like, wow, they really took those out real quickly. And you're like, well, the Joker didn't have much time to construct really accurately good...
Let's see what you do in like a day. Can you put together three giant robots?
Three giant nutcracker robots hell-bent on destruction?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. You'd get like a foot done and be like, you know what, I'm tired.
I probably would. You're right.
Also with your engineering skills.
I mean, I could probably like make 2 feet and then be stuck from there.
I could do the wood.
Yes. I don't know how to weld.
Yeah, and after they defeat these robots, they find themselves with the Joker, who has the three police officers above a pit of...
Vat of something.
Boiling something.
Hot magma.
Yeah.
Poison. So Batman approaches... And the Joker says, here's your Christmas present. And Batman, foolishly opens it. And what is it? It's a pie in the face.
It's just a cream pie.
Very big cream pie.
It's just a Three Stooges moment.
Oh, yes. Followed by Batman lunging at the Joker, who then cuts the string with scissors. These have to be industrial scissors or really bad string.
And 600 pounds of people fall to Batman.
Tackles to the ground.
With ease.
And nobody gets hurt.
Just kind of plucks them out of the air. All 600 pounds.
And
of
then,
falling flesh.
And then restrains the Joker with, like, minimal force. Then the Joker escapes, only to be foiled at the top of this staircase by a roller skate.
Yeah, just...
Who left a roller skate in the middle of this toy factory above a vat of boiling chemical?
Yeah, it is a little...
Deus Ex Machina.
It gets a little slapsticky at the end. I love the pie, but I feel like the, like, slipping on the roller skate is one step too far.
Yeah.
The pie is funny, because it's just like, what's his grand plan? Pie to the face.
Yep. You knew that it was, like, all for that moment, and then kill everybody.
Yeah.
It's like a double play for the Joker.
He was in it for the pie.
And it all ends. All's well that ends well.
I love Batman just catches him above the acid or whatever and kind of like jerks him down like he's gonna play that he's gonna drop. He just kind of laughs. He's like, ha, Merry Christmas, you dickhead.
Good job.
Well, he says done. The Joker instead.
Yes.
And he goes back to Arkham and they watch It's a Wonderful Life. But Batman will only watch it if it's not a super happy movie.
Yes.
Which I guess it's not. It's fine. I mean, the reason we're doing it is because it's a Christmas theme episode. The ones we did Holiday Nights last year, which is head and shoulders a much better Christmas episode.
Well, it comes along and later in the series.
Yeah. And season one is still a strong season. I think the strongest episode they do is in season one. And actually, there's a lot of great in season one. But there's also some growing pains. And this one is fine. I think there's a reason we didn't see this writer and director return. It's not bad. It's just kind of there.
Well, we glossed over the part where you actually verbally went, boo.
Yeah, we did. Batman beats some flying planes with a Joker face with a baseball bat.
To which Robin replies, I guess that's why they call you the Batman.
Yeah, you kid.
Whoa, I got escalated quickly. I would say if you're a big Batman fan, if you're a fan of the animated series and you haven't seen it.
It's fun. It's not bad.
It's fun. But if you're not into Batman, don't like go out of your way to see it.
My gripe with it is just this show so often hits a very, very high bar. Because, I mean, much like, you know, that thing we're going to watch next week, it's aimed at children, but it also could be a very all-ages thing. And there's a lot of enjoyment you can get out of this as a kid and an adult, and this one just kind of lands as, here's one, which is not what the show is known for.
Well, it's also their first Christmas episode.
Yeah. I mean, they've done 38 at this point. They should have had a formula, or I guess not a formula, but at least a little bit tighter episode at that point.
It all worked out.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of crapping on it. There's some really good moments in it, but a lot of it just falls flat.
Well,
I mean, that the Joker has like this very elaborate plan, but Batman is very reactionary in it. It doesn't seem to be really taking any steps to move the plot forward himself. He's like, plot will do that for itself. I'm just long for the ride.
I think the big thing here too is like, you're a huge Batman the Animated Series fan. Like, you love it.
I do love this show.
And for you to say like, yeah, even some of the episodes are not like amazing. Not everything is going to be gold inside of a treasure chest.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fairly long-running show. They cranked out a ton of episodes, and a lot of them are great, and a lot of the themed ones are great.
This one is.
Yeah, and I mean, Mark Hamill does great. Kevin Conroy does great. Still love the art style. I love the pie at the end of it. I love that they're taking... It's still a relative, I'll throw it in air quotes, dark episode, but they still do silly stuff like, we're fighting 30-foot nutcrackers that are also robots. Like, that stuff's fun.
Yeah, it's good old-fashioned holiday fun.
Yeah, it's certainly not bad. It doesn't stand in kind of the higher levels of what the show can be, which, you know.
It leaves you wanting a little bit more.
I was going to say, sometimes you have to have some, like, the okay stuff to remind you of, like, why the great stuff is so great. And then I went, nah, that's not true. I've seen some stuff where it's all great, and I appreciate it, so hey.
That's reasonable.
Overall, enjoyable. Not one of the greats, but still fun. I still enjoy it.
Yes, it is.
Do you have any more commentary?
I do not.
All right.
On to letters to Santa Claus. And by Santa Claus, I mean us, the editors.
Yeah.
His elves.
Lot of questions, number one. Damn few answers.
Here's another one of your letters to the editors.
Make it so.
This letter comes straight from
Santa?
Someone talking to me.
Oh.
Sometimes I do that. I get asked a lot of questions in the store.
Okay.
But a lot of the questions that I get asked are usually stuff about like the movies, like, oh, has this deal gone through? Which I just cover in the news, so
they
end up falling flat. But this one I could use.
All right, please enlighten me.
Well, this is a hypothetical question.
Please allow me to enlighten somebody else.
We didn't even talk about all this. There was a list of stuff that came out of all the things that were cut from the Zack Snyder version of Justice League, or at least the proposed stuff that was going to happen. Rumors of an extended cut for Justice League has been floated around. It's probably likely, since they seem to do extended cuts with all the bad movies.
Let's make you suffer longer. Well, that also, it's like, oh, here's the stuff we couldn't put in the original movie, and it's going to get you to want to watch it again, so you have to buy it or Redbox it or some other bull crap.
Suicide Squad got an extended cut. Batman v Superman got an extended cut. Man of Steel didn't. Wonder Woman didn't. The bad ones get extended cuts, so this one probably will. But will there be a Zack Snyder cut of Justice League released?
Almost like an Apocalypse Now Redux kind of thing.
Yeah, with his original vision intact and taking out the reshooty stuff.
I don't know if they'll be able to take out the reshooty stuff just because of the effort that went into post and to do all of that. But maybe you get a Zack Snyder cut of the film, of like from what's available to him without having to spend extra millions of dollars on any kind of effects or CG or post-production. But I think what you'll see, They're probably getting an extended cut in which they will actually clean up some of the CG with time, now that they've had time to do it, if they're even going to put money into it. But I don't think you're going to get a Zack Snyder cut where it's all of the stuff he shot or wanted to shoot, or it's his original vision, because probably a lot of that stuff was not through post yet by the time it got to Whedon.
My answer is yes, but not for 10 years.
Really?
They've already taken, like we said, the projected $1 million loss on the movie. They're not going to put X number of millions back into the movie to get a different cut when they're also going to be releasing the theatrical cut. That doesn't make financial sense. Will we get an extended cut? Probably.
I highly doubt this movie is going to age well.
But you still might get people who want to go back and see what it could have been. We got this, and this is even, I'm saying 10 years and I'm being generous with that figure. Superman 2, famously Richard Donner had shot the majority of that movie and was replaced as director. In 2007, maybe 2008, but I'm going to say 2007, the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2 was released. And the reason that they were able to do that, I think I've talked about this before, but if you want to get credited as the director of a film, you need to shoot a certain percentage of
it.
I think it's 55%. I might be a little off on that. And Richard Donner had shot over that, so the new director who came in had to reshoot a lot of scenes that had already been done in order to get credit for that movie. And the reason they could put the Richard Donner cut together, and some of the shots they have in that cut are actually unfinished, like, visual effects shots, but they were able to do that because so much had, they existed already, so you're actually seeing, like, these weird scenes of, like, alternate takes and different camera angles of scenes that are in the theatrical Superman 2. I think you might get something like that down the road with Justice League, and reinserting the stuff that Zack Snyder shot. I'm not sure if they would, how much money they would put into doing visual effects and all that. But I think that's a
They nice spent $10 million to remove a man's mustache.
25.
Sorry.
But just I think saying. That is potentially a way to double down on your money, but I don't think you can do it in the near future. I don't think that there's going to be an interest to see an alternate cut of a movie that some people like. Not a lot, but some.
A movie that pretty much universally bombed.
Yeah, I felt bad. I talked to a couple of people because people were like, oh, what did you think? I hated it. And I said that to a few people who really liked it. I felt kind of bad.
You felt an emotion?
Yeah, surprised, I know.
Remorse? Of all the emotions that you would feel, remorse or pity was not ones I would...
I didn't say pity, I was just...
Remorse is not one I would expect from you.
So yeah, I think we will get one, but I think it's at least 10 years away. When you can generate enough interest for people to want to spend money for potentially the second or third time. Like, if you do an extended cut, you might get people like, okay, well, I haven't seen this version, I'll spend money a second time, and then are you going to get those same people who want to spend money on the same movie for a third time? You got to wait a little while.
Fair. Yeah, you're not going to... Yeah, I hear you.
Or just might never see the light of day because this universe is going to get scrapped.
It'd be a fun nostalgia piece, maybe, if, like, the universe really takes off, like, oh, look how we could have done this, but we, you know, screwed it up at the time and whatever. Retcon the shit out of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath anytime soon, but probably eventually.
Air is good for you. Keep the air coming.
Yeah, it's not even that long of a show.
Oh, really?
It was just a long news segment.
Yeah, it was.
I guess the letter was pretty short. We got there.
We got there. Christmas, right around the corner. Big week next week.
Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars.
It is a movie. I am excited.
That wasn't the Bill Murray bit.
Whatever. I'm just adding my own little piece.
Okay. You sir, no Bill Murray.
No, I am far from it. But until then, where can we go to the store? Oh, by the way, you wrote a thing.
Oh, yeah, that article went up. That took a while.
Yeah.
Well, I submitted, like, I did a couple of extensive rewrites on it, and then I submitted it, and I didn't hear back for, like, a week. I was like, oh, yeah, that's up now.
So you wrote a thing.
I'm still waiting for some irrational hate.
Check them out on whatculture.com.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. They changed the pay scale from clicks to just a flat rate, so I don't really care anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, still click on your stuff.
I guess read it if you want to read it.
Wow.
But I'm getting paid the same no matter what.
Oh, good for you.
Just is what it is.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
I pushed harder when I was getting paid by the click.
Any Christmas sales coming up?
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay, well, keep us... We're waiting. Maybe like a Hanukkah thing, like an 8 days of comics.
You know what I got to do that I hate? It's my least...
Taxes?
Well, for taxes, I have to do my whole inventory, and it's a big pain in the ass. Mostly just because every single company has a different discount amount. So not only am I counting everything up, I have to count it up by company and break it down by the price and then break it down by the discount and then add it all together. It takes forever.
Why don't you keep like a running tally of that throughout the year?
Because you have to see, because you don't know, like, things could have been lifted or any of that other crap. Like, you got to go through piece by piece. You don't want to lie on the taxes.
Like, you mean lifted, like, somebody shoplifted out of the store?
Yeah, you don't know what's there ultimately in the end.
Do you think somebody's, like, actually stolen comic books from you?
A couple of things have disappeared. Not very much.
Oh, wow.
Overall.
Do you need a security guard? I'll stand outside the store. I'll intimidate people.
I won't pay you.
I'm doing it as your friend. I'm
still not paying you. Yeah, if you want to come to the store,
Scrooge.
210 Water Street, Hallwell, Maine. Everything's on editorsnotecomics.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, baby!
If you think this show is so entertaining, you just can't wait a whole extra day to hear it.
Go to Patreon.
Patreon.com/editorsnotecomics. Yeah, I guess it's Star Wars next week. You're on Twitter.
At Junior Rich. You didn't mention the other show, the Buffy back issue bin.
Yeah, that's still happening.
Yes, it is. There's going to be some... I feel like we're, like, missing something here at the end. Do it in more of Yeah, rate, review, subscribe.
On iTunes. The more you do that, the more visible the show is, and we get more followers. And the more followers we get, the sooner I can sell it to advertisers.
We're almost 100 shows in.
Yeah.
We tried once, like, 25 shows in.
Yeah, actually, I got some nice feedback, which wasn't bad.
Yeah, I wonder if we could try again after the new year.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Reach out to some networks.
Hello,
like, networks. Do you guys have a thing about pop culture news?
Probably there's a lot of those.
Oh.
But is it from Maine?
Yeah.
Is it Central Maine's best comic book podcast by default? I bet it's not.
I don't even think that's true. I think I've heard of some other ones. Actually, I know there are.
Are they better than us?
I don't know. I don't listen.
You should.
I don't have time.
Could we have a turf war with them?
I'm a tired, tired man.
You are. You didn't tell your story. You got to tell your story about last night. Tell your story.
I'm just tired in general.
We got a little bit of time.
Fine.
Okay, tell your story.
I was woken up at 2:30 in the morning to a loud crashing noise. It sounded like something.
By the way, it's
shattered.
Monday night, and I don't know why I'm having you tell the story, because it's like 10:40, and I want to go watch the end of the Patriots game. So, boom. Let's hustle.
Okay, yeah, great. So, crashing sound, 2:30 in the morning. I poke my head out of the room to see the TV has just turned itself on.
Magically.
Yeah. I assume I'm being robbed, so I grab some pants. And come out of my room with a forceful, what the F?
See, I think you made a huge error. If you're being robbed and you're going to go out there and kick this guy's ass, you should do it buck-ass naked. That would stop anybody in their tracks. All right? That was your mistake. You should have come out your bedroom naked as the day you were born.
So no pants next time. Fantastic.
Yeah. So next time somebody brings... Because, okay, put yourself in the robber's shoes. If you're robbing somebody's house and then, like... The owner of the house, first of all, you're an asshole for, like, breaking in. But then the owner comes lunging at you, angry and naked.
Oh, I was ready to fight. And I went out to the living room where the magical TV is turned on. And somehow the sugar glider had escaped his cage, knocked over one item. And there's a little button on the back of the TV that I've used, I think, once in the entire life of that TV. Where you can turn it on if you don't have the remote. You need to climb up the TV and hit that little button. I was like, oh, back in your cage with you. But then I didn't fall back asleep because I had a big rush of adrenaline of thinking I was fighting a robber.
But again, if you were robbing somebody's house and the owner of the house came at you naked and angry, would you not just get the hell out of there?
Look, when I robbed people's houses, I made sure no one was there.
Okay, that's secondary. But first of all, most of all, I think if somebody, like, the shock and awe of, like, you coming out of the dark, buck-ass naked and attacking somebody, that would be, first of all, I'd love to read about that in the paper. I think it'd be hilarious. Second of all, that would be a great deterrent. Just a thought. Yeah. So when Santa...
So the next time when I'm getting robbed, or not.
Or when Santa shoves this jolly white ass down your chimney and you come out like, what the F? And you're naked. And Santa's like, oh, damn, son.
That's a good Santa. All right, we'll be back next week for Star Wars.
Yeah!